It's really good to be with you this morning. It's good to be here and worship the Lord. I thank you, worship team, for leading us. And I'm not sure quite what the Lord is trying to tell us this morning. Neither Paul nor Nate nor myself communicated, but yet we are traveling down the exact same theme from Sunday school to the worship time to the message this morning. This seems to be the second coming of Christ is a resounding theme. So when that happens, church, I implore you to take notice of what God may be trying to tell us. You said earlier in Paul's response that you believe in the second coming of Christ, that it is true. And the Word of God does tell us that He is coming back. So we're going to begin this morning for myself. I'm going to begin with the text of where Jesus left this earth. We're going to begin by looking at the ascension. But before I begin that, go there, I'd just like to give you a little bit of just a few other sidebar things. The next number of weeks will be somewhat different here at Maranatha. Again, just to highlight, our Sunday school time is going to be using a video series entitled The Bait of Satan. And I would encourage you, even if you have not normally been a participant in Sunday school, this is a great opportunity to give it a whirl and to come and take in some solid teaching on the things that Satan uses to draw us away from him. And I think you will be encouraged and challenged through this teaching. It's a half-hour video. It will be followed by a short discussion time. Again, that starts at 9:30 and ends at 10:15 approximately. Depending on how windy the group leader and the group is. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that it can get lively and fun. How's that? I hear you. Okay. The second thing I'd just like to, along with the next number of... That by the way, will be a 12-week study. And the next month and a half... I am personally taking a mini sabbatical. I call it a sabbatical. I've sort of said first I'm just going to be not going to be preaching, but the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm just going to try and remove myself from a lot of the work of the church and clear my brain, clear my head. And my family and I, we're heading away at the middle of June. We're going to be gone for 3 weeks on a West Coast trip that we have been planning for a number of years. The year that Darren graduates from high school, we said we're going to go west. And so that is coming up. We'll be leaving the 14th of June. And we won't make it to the coast, but we're planning to head to as far west as Utah, maybe Colorado for sure, maybe Utah, I'm not sure. New Mexico, South Dakota. So we're looking forward to that. But during that time, the next number of weeks for the sermon time, there's going to be different lay leaders from here at the church that are going to be taking the message time. And some of you may be aware or may not be aware that there was a group of 8 or 9 men that were took about 8 weeks of skill training in January, February, or actually February, March, April. We met here, and what we're saying is we're not propping all these guys up to be preachers. That's not what we're doing, but we're propping them up to say that, and it goes right along with the theme here, is to say that God can use different people. We all have giftings that God can use, and I am very confident in the messages that you will hear coming in the next number of weeks. God can speak through different people, and so I encourage you to support them, to encourage them, and we'll be hearing just a variety of different Sunday mornings. And coming up here through June, through the middle of July. I would also just highlight what Dawn mentioned as an announcement of the senior recognition evening coming up June 9. There are a number of high school seniors this year, and there's also, I believe, some college graduates. And so we're just we want to acknowledge them and recognize them, and I just it's a little sobering for me. Not sobering, but makes me feel a little bit old. And I hope Willis feels old too, because we each have I have a son and Willis's daughter Lisa, who's graduating today. And you know, for Brent, this is old hat. You know, his dad's, he's been there with Tyler, but a little surreal as my oldest son, Darren, is graduating. And but I just want to publicly say I'm very proud of Darren and proud of the rest of the seniors here. Is it all right for me to say that publicly? Can I say that? All right. Thank you. Part of 2 weeks ago during a Mother's Day, I spoke about the mission of the family, that the family is a mission. And I'm just going to sidebar on that a second. It's been good to have Jolene's mother here the last couple weeks at our house. And this morning I was just observing as Jolene was playing piano. It began to occur to me that because of her influence and desire to teach, have her daughter learn piano, we are reaping a benefit from that as a church. And when we just think about, and I think of many of you parents, of how you're raising your kids, how you're instilling into your kids certain values, certain things that you deem as important, and how that God can take those things and use them in the work of the church, and in the work of the kingdom of God. And I just applaud you and just encourage you. And I guess as I think of, you know, you young people, you may not see the significance of this stuff right now, but as time goes on, you will begin to see more and more the value of learning skills, learning life principles, learning character, developing character in your life, and how God can use that for His glory, and how you will be grateful for that in years to come. I just encourage you that way. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about family mission. Last week, we talked about, we had Jamie and Char Hunt here. And how many of you were here for that and enjoyed that? Did you enjoy that last Sunday? That was good. Talking about exposing us to tribal missions. And if you remember, Char talked about the significance of the local church and the sending church, the church that sends people out. And I had to think, you know, Jonathan's brother Joseph right now, he wasn't living here when he left, but in a sense, we are partnering, we are ascending church for Joseph. And my mind is blank. Jonathan, where's he at? Peru, thank you. All I could think of was Paraguay, and I knew that wasn't right. But he's in Peru right now, and if you get his updates, periodically he sends out emails updating about his work. And I just, again, the mission of the church, going forward, going out, that's what it's about. Why? Because the day is coming when Jesus Christ is going to return. And it's important that we continue to take the message of Jesus, that Jesus, the gospel message, the good news, that Jesus came to save the lost, those who are caught in sin. And by the way, I just commend you. Alas, the offering for the Hunt family was a significant offering. I don't know, is it in the bulletin? I don't remember if it is or not, but It was, I'm going to say, 1,300 and some. You know, that's a significant offering. For in fact, that we took two offerings. And I just commend you for supporting tribal mission and the work of the Hunts there in that way. What I want to focus on this morning, though, it's so easy to think of mission as someone else doing it. It's so easy to think of, you know, a family raising our kids to, for the honor and glory of God, sending people out and this type of thing. But we're going to look this morning of the mission that Jesus left you and I to do. The mission that Jesus left you and I to do. And I recognize, some of you may say, here Lynn goes again. I recognize that this is a repeated theme of mine, the fact that we are to be on mission, that we are a part of this. But I want to look at this from a little different angle. This is Memorial Day weekend. And when you think of Memorial Day, it's often, I think it was established to recognize the those who have fallen in military and war and battle, and the sacrifice of that, of giving a life for a cause. And that is, there's something about that that is significant. We need to honor that. Memorial Day. I would like us to consider a cause this morning that is worthy of a sacrifice. And that is the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that a worthy cause? You're not sure. Absolutely, it is. It is the most worthy cause. Not that other causes are not worthy. This is the cause for the believer. This is what we give our lives for. This is what it's about. Okay, so let's take a look at some texts here this morning. Beginning to realize that the way I just worded that, I may have, I wasn't at all trying to minimize the cause of people who give, men and women who have given their life in battle. They're committed to a cause. And I'm not at all minimizing that. But I'm saying there is a greater cause. There is a greater cause. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16, 19 to 20. Before we do, Father, I just pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts to your truth and your word. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you to move so that we can understand what you want to communicate to us, Lord, this morning. Thank you. Amen. Mark 16, 19 to 20. After the Lord had spoken to them, Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. You got that? Where is he now? At the right hand of God. Then the disciples, just a couple verses here. Look at these. Jesus left, went and sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So we have several things here. By the way, let's take 1 minute here. What are you seeing? What stands out to you in this couple verses? Real quick, what stands out to you?
And the Lord worked with them.
And the Lord worked with them. Okay? What else? They went out. They were active. Okay? Okay, it was action on their part. What else?
Jesus
Jesus seated next to his Father. Okay? Ah, the power of signs. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in the power of signs today? Absolutely. Absolutely. The simple thing I want you to see here, and all of these are very good and they fit, but the thing I want you to see is that at one point Jesus was here and the next point Jesus was there. Okay? Now when you have Jesus here and then Jesus up there, what about the mission of Jesus? You know, normally when someone is, you come in and you do a work, when you go, I'm trying to think of an illustration on the fly here, but it's not coming to my brain. But when someone comes into and does something, you're there doing it, and when you leave, that work stops, right? Normally. But this is what's, this is what I want you to see in these verses. Jesus was here, and then he is gone. Now let's go to Luke. Same story, same situation. Luke writes it from a little different perspective, elaborates a bit more, and a few more verses. So let's look at Luke 24, 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I like how Jesus does that. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where you have been reading, studying, reading a text that you've read many times, and suddenly new truth just pops out to you. Amen? That's so neat to see God opening our minds. And that's sort of what happened here. He opened their minds so they could understand, and he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Okay, so before we continue, let's think this through a little bit. Jesus opened their minds, told them about that, allowed them to understand what Jesus was going through, and then said, "You are witnesses of these things. You saw it, you walked through it, you experienced it, and these are the things that will be preached. Go to the city and wait for the power," the Holy Spirit. Verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, I like this picture. You get the picture? Jesus lifting, I don't know what he did. Did he do it this way? Was he doing it this way? How was he lifting up his hands and blessing them? But he was blessing them. I'm going to say it was this way. And as he was blessing them, he lifted up. He left them and was taken up into heaven. And now what was the response? Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Very interesting, Mark's perspective. Mark's perspective was that when Jesus ascended, boy, they went out and they told everybody about Jesus. And Luke's perspective was they went back to the temple and they praised God. Are they countering each other? No. It's just what stood out to the writers? What was significant here? They did both. They did both. They went and they continually praised God. What is the truth in these passages? What are we looking for here? As whenever you take the Word of God, you can look for facts, you can look for details, you can try and understand it so that it connects to your brain. But ultimately, what we are looking for, what is the truth that impacts us and changes our lives? That's what we're looking for out of these two simple texts. So let's look at some foundational truths to our mission, to our mission. Jesus ascended to heaven, and when he ascended, he left us to carry the spiritual work that he came to do. We are the ones to continue to do this work. And let's think about this just a little bit. Jesus' mission said, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate, what did he say? He told Pilate, he said, my kingdom were not of this world. If it were, my disciples would have fought against the Jews who were trying to arrest me. Jesus said, no, that's not what my work is about. My work is not about this earthly stuff. My work is about heavenly stuff. It's about the heavenly kingdom. It's the two kingdom theory. A heavenly kingdom where ultimately we will spend eternity. That's what's important to Jesus, because time on this earth is short. The heavenly kingdom, Jesus said, is to do what the Father tells me to do. And I find that very interesting. Jesus did not come to the earth and did his own will. He didn't just come and do what he wanted to do. He came and he did heavenly kingdom work on this earth. And he was able to do that because he was so connected to the Father. He was so connected to him. I hope you're remembering these. He was doing heavenly kingdom work. He was able to do it because he was connected to the Father. And where is Jesus now? He's seated at the right hand, interceding for us. Okay? So he has left, and he's up there connecting to the Father. Now let's go to another thought. Jesus' mission is our mission. And I want to look at this term that says we are baptized into Christ. Into Christ. So what I'm doing here is a little bit of theological background and foundational truths. So I hope you're not, don't fall asleep and get bored on me here. But a theological truth that it really defines our purpose for mission and the fact that we are baptized into Christ. Do you remember last week, Jamie Hunt, while he was here sharing about tribal work, he modeled how words can mean different things in different cultures. Kids, do you remember anything what he used there? What illustration did he use? Remember last week, Jamie talked about a fox. So what was a fox? So what was the... Okay. Do you remember the different analogies for the fox? Enemy? What's that? Okay, one place is dull, you said? And a dull, okay. Other place is clever. So if you call somebody a sly old fox, you would be calling them a very dull person in one culture or a very clever person in another culture. What was another illustration he used? Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Jesus called Herod a fox. He was referring to him as a destructive person. But Jamie also used the term of dog. We think of dog, we think of pet. In some cultures, they think of lunch. And I find that very interesting, you know. I find that hard to stomach, actually. Some of you agree with me on that. So when we think of this term, baptized into Christ, we have to go back to the culture. What does the culture, does anybody know what baptized meant in the culture of Jesus' day or of the New Testament? What's that? No. That's what we think of it as, a model, an illustration, an outward expression of a change. But what was it in New Testament times? It was an everyday word. Huh? No, repentance. No, it had nothing to do with Christianity. Baptized was a cultural word. Now, I'm sort of going to take insult here because I've mentioned this before. Wash, close, not quite. Not ritual cleansing. What? Baptized was used in the process of dyeing cloth. It was used in dyeing cloth. And so when they would take a piece of cloth and dip it into the dye, they would say, they're going to baptize this cloth. And so that was the everyday use of that word, baptized. And so they dipped this cloth into dye, and it came out a different color. It was different. And so as we talk about being baptized into Christ, it makes a little more sense to me when you think of not just baptizing as in going underwater, but rather you're baptizing into something that is going to totally transform and change who you are, and you are a different person. That cloth went in white, came out scarlet, whatever color the dye was. And so being baptized into Christ, we are baptized into Christ. It is a foundational truth that when we, through our faith in Jesus Christ, through the expression of baptism, we are converted and changed to be like Christ. It's no longer us, but Christ. And I realize there's so many different words and terms that we can use to help us grasp that, because it's a concept. Jesus used the term born again with Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, what in the world's that? How am I going to do that? But it's a transformation. Something different changes within us. The other term we could do is we are one with Christ. And let's look at John 17, 20 to 23. Let's get some scriptures here to support what we're talking about. Look at these words. My prayer is, this is Jesus praying for believers who will believe in him. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. This is the disciples' message as they go out. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you had loved me. There's this concept of being baptized with Christ, that we become one with Christ. The mission that Jesus had while he was on this earth is now our mission. We're just continuing the work that Jesus did. We are one with him. We are one. Now, Romans 6:3, I'm not going to take time to look at the verse, but Romans 6:3 says it this way, that when we are baptized into his death. What's that referring to? That's referring to, then, and Paul, in writing to the Romans, goes on and talks about that this is the reason to stop sinning. Because we have been dipped into the dye of Jesus Christ, and now we are different, so we stop sinning. Because we are baptized into Christ. Second, another one is Paul spoke of this. Paul said this way, he was challenging the Corinthian church. He says, you guys are arguing that you're baptized. Are you baptized into Paul? He says, no, you're not baptized into Paul. In other words, it's not about Paul's teaching. It's about Jesus. You're baptized into Jesus. And there was this disunity in the church over what they believed and who's teaching, who they were following. And Paul says, get over it. You know, you're not baptized into me. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26. Again, Paul writing to the Galatian church. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So let's take this see if this makes sense. The relationship that we have with Jesus is not just sinner-savior. How many of you identify with that relationship? Jesus as my Savior. Does that connect? Does that connect with you, Jesus? And we sing about that a lot. I want us to move on forward past that. Not that sinner and Savior is not accurate. It's absolutely accurate. But that's the beginning. That's the beginning. It's no longer just Jesus as my Savior, but Jesus and I are one. Our mission is the same. We're joined together. You know, it's moving on from the wonderful truth of amazing grace. And Jesus did extend grace to us. But it's moving on and joining him in the mission that he originally came to do. Jesus also talks in John 15:15. Look at this verse. He says, I no longer call you servants. Again, what is your view of Jesus? Are you viewing him as just this Savior up there? And this one that we are destined to please? And that we have to live our lives to please Jesus? Yes, we do. But we are one with him. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. A servant just does what he's told. By the way, if you want a sidebar for employment as an employer, it's significant when people begin to catch the vision and the mission of the business and they join in with that. Versus just being someone who shows up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and does what they're told. You know what that's like. And this is what Jesus is saying. I'm not calling you a servant. You're not just here doing what you're told. Why? You have connected with the master's business. Your heart is connected exactly with the mission that Jesus had. And Jesus is saying, you caught it. You see what I'm about. You see what I'm about. Instead, I have called you friends. Hey, you like that? I like that. I like that. Jesus says, I just call you a friend. Why? Because we're doing the exact same thing. We're walking down the same road. You've caught the vision. You've caught it. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Mark 16:19-20, we read that Jesus ascended and his disciples went out and preached everywhere. And I want us to catch that this is our mission as a church. The mission is not just to do the work of church. Okay, let me explain. We lifted an offering this morning for audiovisual. There will be some people who are committed to installing that, making that work, who are going to run it each week on Sunday. They are doing the work of the church. That's a part of it. There are people who cut the lawn, who take care of the work, who organize events, who it's very needed. In fact, there are people who preach here every Sunday. That's needed. That's the work of the church. Okay? That is not the entire scope of the work of the church. The mission of Jesus was not just to create an organization that clicked well and that was structured well. You understand what I'm saying? It's much more than just coming here and taking care of the flower beds and making sure they look great. Thank you, ladies, for doing that. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. What Jesus was talking about was engaging with him in spiritual work that went to war against the very gates of hell, the work of the enemy. The structure of the church is simply there to support the spiritual work that those who are connected with Jesus are engaged in doing. There's a very significant difference. And I'm going to go on a sidebar here a little bit. That as we talk about building on, and we've been talking about this for a number of years, and I'm telling you, we're very close to coming to you with some very good information, saying this is what it would cost, this is what we're dealing with. And we're going to be asking you to say, hey, are you guys on board? Is the Lord behind, or how do I say this? Is the Lord confirming this, that we should be moving ahead with this? We're going to be asking you for that. But that is not the work of the church or the work of Jesus. That is simply the structure that supports the work. And one of my biggest fears in putting on an addition and ending up with a gymnasium and the facilities and more facilities here is that we become a church that just enjoys getting together and using our facilities for our own benefit. The facilities are only a tool to be used to do the work of Jesus. And some could argue, and I could argue with myself, that we don't need facilities to do that. Let's just go out and do it. I wrestle with that. And the building committee is saying, be quiet, Lynn. Just stop right there. No, but it's a real wrestle. It's a real struggle. John 17, 18, Jesus told his disciples, he says, as you sent, no, he's talking to the Father, I'm sorry, he's in his prayer. He's saying, as you sent me into the world, as God sent Jesus into the world, what's he saying? I have sent them into the world. Jesus, all right, let me read you something here. I ran across this news article this week. Tornadoes in Oklahoma. I've just been wowed at that. One of my dreams in life. You guys have a bucket list? One of my bucket list entries is to witness a live tornado. I really want to see one sometime. Hey, listen, how many of the rest of you are with me on that? You would really like to see that. See, there's a few of us out there. I tell you, it would be a cool experience to witness a tornado. Anyhow, more Oklahoma, written by Jason Wright in the Deseret News. Okay, I know nothing about it, I just pulled it off the web, but I found this article interesting. He writes this way, by now the world knows that on Monday, just before 3 p.m. local time, a massive tornado touched down near Oklahoma City. We've witnessed how it shredded the nearby suburb of Moore like a city made of wooden tinker toys. Incredible devastation. We know the tornado, I'm skipping ahead here. We know the tornado brought winds up to 200 miles per hour and a funnel cloud and debris field 2 miles wide. It's impressive. But we do not know the total devastation to homes, businesses, and schools. We know that many people have died. At this time when he wrote it, he says, we don't know how high the death toll will rise. Skipping ahead, like many of you, I've watched hours of the live coverage broadcast from mountains of rubble, rippled asphalt parking lots. Stories are emerging of friends, neighbors, and strangers saving lives. A witness spoke of one good Samaritan pulling a dead woman and her little infant child from a collapsed convenience store. And he writes, I wonder why it sometimes takes such tragedy for our heart. Let me rephrase. I wonder why it sometimes takes such tragedy for our hearts to fully engage one another. Does it seem we're all a little kinder after school shootings, marathon bombings, and natural disasters? Skipping ahead, we've seen recovery footage featuring volunteers climbing up and around dangerous piles of rubble that appear as if they might collapse like a Jenga tower. Their bravery reminds us that God, listen closely, their bravery reminds us that God could do this work if he wanted to. but he expects us to be his hands. We know he, referring to God, could pull people from trapped cars, put out fires, or carry a stranger's body from ruins to a resting place. No, he doesn't need our help. He wants it. Heartbreak of this EF4 magnitude tornado teaches us that our Father in heaven is a God of perfect miracles. But often the day-to-day heavenly miracles come through imperfect earthly hands. I don't know Jason Wright. I don't know what his background is or anything about what he believes. But I do know that his words here are quite interesting in this day and age. You see, what I want you to see is that Jesus ascended to heaven because he knew that those who loved him and believed in him could carry on the work that he had begun. How does that make you feel? That God, through Jesus, is conveying confidence in you to do his work. I don't mention much about Menno Simons from the pulpit, but it's the man that the Mennonite denomination gets their name from, much as Lutherans and get their name from Martin Luther. Or, by the way, do you know where the term Methodist, do you know where that name comes from? It comes from John Wesley's method, his method of doing church that he promoted, Methodist denomination. And I could... Many of you know my feeling about denominations. I'm not big on that, but it's a reality in our world. I throw this quote up there by Menno Simons. It says this way. It's a long quote. True evangelical faith. True faith. Evangelical. Mission. True missional faith is what he's saying. Is of such nature. It seeks, serves and fears God in its inmost soul. It clothes the naked. It feeds the hungry. It comforts the sorrowful. It shelters the destitute. It aids and consoles the sad. It does good to those who do it harm. It serves those that harm it. It prays for those who persecute it. It teaches, admonishes, and judges us with the word of the Lord. It seeks those who are lost. It binds up what is wounded. It heals the sick. It saves what is strong. It becomes all things to all people. The persecution, suffering, and anguish that come to it for the sake of the Lord's truth have become a glorious joy and comfort to it. This would have been written during a time when the early church, the Mennonite, those who were followers of Menno Simon would have been under intense persecution. And he's saying, listen, true missional faith is not one who seeks to protect itself, but one who goes out and is actively engaging, doing the work of Jesus. Our mission, our hope. The Gospel of Luke ends with the ascension of Jesus. And you got to understand, Luke wrote this gospel. And then Luke also wrote Acts. And it appears to me, as I was looking at this, that it was basically a continuation to his gospel. Because at the beginning of Acts, he picks up where he left off at the end of the Gospel of Luke. And he writes this way in Acts 1. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, it's a great name for your next child, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I just lost you out of all that reading. I'm sorry. Let me summarize it. Our mission, our hope. I'm going to say it this way. One, the call has been sounded. Jesus left us to do the mission. The Great Commission, it was there. The call has been sounded. Two, the resources have been given. The resources have been given. God has given us gifts. God has given us ability. If Jesus had not ascended up into heaven, the Holy Spirit would not have come. This is what Jesus promised. He promised a comforter, a helper, someone who would be there when life seems to be falling apart, someone who is there when the enemy attacks, someone who is there when sin and temptation rears its ugly head. The resources have been provided, and the promise has been given. The promise has been given that our work will end. That our work will end. Because Jesus is going to come back someday, is he not? The mission that we are called to do is not one against other people. That's why disunity in the church is one of the seven things that God abhors. Because our battle is not against other people. Our battle is not against other denominations or people who believe somewhat differently than we do. Our battle is against the enemy. Because our battle is against the enemy, we can't win this war on our own strength. We win it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus relied on the Father to live while he was on the earth, so we rely on the Holy Spirit to do the work that he has called the church to do. This morning, I want to commend our church. And some of you are going to say, "Lynn, I have no idea what you're talking about." But I want to commend our church for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and for carrying out the mission of the church this past week in 10 days. Our church, in various ways, battled. We did war against the enemy this week. And it was very, very encouraging. And I say this intentionally from the pulpit. It was very, very encouraging for me as a pastor to sit back and watch. Understand my heart. And watch my people go to war against the enemy. Again, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. Those of you who do, I want you to hear my heart. John 17:24. I want you to hear my heart for one reason. Did you hear the choice of words I said, I gave? My choice of words were this: my people. You see, there is something significant that happens with a pastor when he begins to see people that come to the church Sunday after, that are a part of the church on a regular basis, begin to roll up their sleeves, and do the work of the kingdom. There is an ownership that develops between a pastor and his people. Does that make sense to you? And there's a great, I mentioned this earlier, I have great pride in Darren is graduating and the work that he's done. I have great pride in you as a people. Not a wrong pride. No. Not a sinful pride. But a pride in seeing God work through you. And you opening yourselves up to be used by God. Carry on, church. Go! Look at this verse. John 17:24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me. This is his prayer. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Worship team, you can come up. And to see my glory. You see the heart of Jesus? What did he say? I want all these people to be with me in glory. That's the mission of Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not about how much money you put in the offering. It's not about what people say about you behind their back, your back. It's not about trying to just, keep everybody happy. No, the work of the church is about going to war against the enemy so that people who are lost in sin, who are caught in the web of sin, can be freed so that they can live their lives to the glory of God and ultimately be in eternity and experience the glory that Jesus is experiencing right now. You get this? Why are you sitting there? Can't you stand or something? You see it. He did smile. That helps. Some of you murmured something. This is incredible stuff. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Yeah, that's right. If the enemy wins in your life, you will never experience the glory. If the enemy wins in your family's life, your family won't experience the glory. If the enemy wins in your neighbor's life, your neighbors won't experience the glory. Church, how do we do war against the enemy? Do we do war against the enemy through the power of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the gift given to the church by Jesus when he went back up into heaven? Connect with the Holy Spirit. Focus on your relationship with God. Use this word. Spend time in prayer. Church, as we gather together, this is what we're doing. We're learning this book. We're encouraging each other. We're motivating each other. Why? Because to do war against the enemy, to do mission. Let me play, worship team. I'm going to ask you simply this morning, has God challenged you this morning to commit your life to mission, to doing war against the enemy? This is a cause worth sacrificing your life for. We're going to end with a song of just celebration. It's a song of, these are the days of Elijah. You look around our world and you see everything falling apart. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. As I heard you guys talking in Sunday school, Paul was saying, aren't you ready for Jesus to come? And you guys said what? Yeah, I'm going to challenge you the other way. Let's pray, Jesus, don't come yet. Because there's too many people that will not experience the glory of God if Jesus comes tomorrow. There's a mission. Stand with us and let's sing. You understand what we're saying? If you want to tell God this morning, God, I want to join Jesus. I want to join your mission. I want to recommit to that. I'm just going to ask you just to
come to the front and just worship the Lord up here. Just as a public way of saying, I want to join in that mission. Because these are the days of Elijah. And one day Jesus is going to come. But I pray that not tomorrow. Not yet. Because there's too many out there. You don't know. And if this morning you don't know, if when Jesus comes that you are ready to meet him in the air, I encourage you to come talk to, come to the front and just talk to one of us. There's Paul, there's me, there's Willis, Ken, Jack, there's a bunch of us ladies, there's ladies that are here. Come, make it known and say, I'm not sure. I want to pray with somebody. Father, you've heard us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as we worship you. Thank you, Jesus.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, declaring the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. The hat's trumpet call, oh, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, jungles becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuild the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Lord, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift up your voice. It's a year of jubilee. And out of Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. To you are jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Trumpet call, lift your voice. To you and to me, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Out of Zion till salvation comes.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I just encourage you, church, we're coming into summer vacation time. You're going to be going out. You're going to be doing all kinds of things. You're going to be missing Sundays, and that's okay. I want you to enjoy summer with your family. But church, don't forget the mission. Don't allow the enemy to take the pleasures of the world and cause you to distract from the mission that God has, Jesus left you when he ascended. Father, remind us again and again and again, no matter what we do, Lord, that we are your representatives here on this earth. That you have given us a call, you have given us a mission Jesus, open our eyes to the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do mission. Father, on those who have come and publicly stated that they want to do mission, they want to recommit to that mission, Lord, I pray right now that you would just pour out a new infilling of your Spirit on them, Lord. That your presence would just be poured out on them, empowering them to do things beyond and what they ever dreamed or imagined, Lord, just because of the presence and the power of your Spirit, Lord. Fill them, Lord, anew. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget your prayer for us, Jesus, that you want us to experience the glory, your glory. Lord, I just pray that your glory would be at the forefront of our minds, Lord. Remind us again and again of your glory. I ask your blessing on this church. Father, I'm going to be gone from here for the next number of weeks. And I pray for them, Father. I pray for them, Lord, that you would protect them. Lord, I pray that you would give them courage and strength to stand against the enemy's temptations. Lord, I pray that you would give them a love for each other. And Lord, I pray that you would develop within them a call to mission, a burden for those who don't know you, a burden to live a godly life so that others can see you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for them. Lord, I pray for myself, Lord. For my family. As we're gone, Lord, I pray that you would renew. Renew the vision in us. Unify us as a family in how you want us to do mission, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit who has been working here this morning. Thank you, Lord. As we leave this place, may we go. We glorify your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. We glorify church. Just glorify the name of the Lord together with a round of applause and just thanking the Lord, glorifying you, Lord. Amen. Glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we're praying. Amen. Go in peace.